So when you're studying the life of Moses, of course, you get to the part of the 10 plagues and the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. So we'll be studying that this evening. The Bible says that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The Bible also says that Pharaoh hardened his heart. And the Bible says that God hardened Pharaoh's heart. How does that all work together? What is the explanation? Does the Bible contradict itself? And even more importantly, is this teaching Calvinism? In the 1500s, John Calvin taught that all mankind are predestined by God apart from their own free will. God chooses some to be saved and some to be lost apart from their free will. They don't choose that at all. God chooses that for man. And the hardening of Pharaoh's heart is a favorite proof text used by Calvinists today to promote Calvin's theory of predestination. And they turn to Romans chapter 9 and verse 17, and that's why we looked at that last night. If you look at John Calvin's commentary on the book of Romans, his comments on Romans 9:17 are interesting. He says, quote, "We are accordingly to take two points into consideration here. First, Pharaoh's predestination to destruction. And second, the purpose of his predestination. His character was given to him by God." Underscore that in your mind. His character was given to him by God. It wasn't his choice. Paul's purpose is to make us accept the fact that he seemed good to God to enlighten some in order that they might be saved and blind others in order that they might be destroyed. Paul does not inform us that the ruin of the ungodly is foreseen by the Lord, but that it is ordained by his counsel and will. Actually, on that last sentence, he missed it twice. God does know, he does see in advance those who are going to be lost, but he does not ordain them to be lost. So he missed it twice in one sentence. Turn with me now to Exodus chapter 4. In Exodus 4 through 20, there are 20 verses that mention the hardening of Pharaoh's heart. 19 are mentioned for Pharaoh, and one at the very end of the list is for the Egyptians. The Egyptians' hearts were hardened. So it wasn't just Pharaoh, but the Egyptians also. But the majority of them are, of course, for Pharaoh. There are three Hebrew verbs that are used for this hardening. This chazak, meaning firm or strong or strengthened, it's used 12 times. Kabed, meaning heavy or weighty or burdensome, 6 times. And kashal, 2 times, meaning hard or difficult or stubborn. In your English Bibles, most English Bibles are going to translate these three verbs and these 20 times, with the exception of maybe one or two times, pretty much every time is hardened. And so his heart was hardened, he hardened his own heart, and then the Lord hardened his heart. There's some slight variation between the three, but it's pretty much all the same point. Pharaoh had a hard heart. I find this interesting that there are 10 times out of the 20 times, 10 times when the subject of the hardening is God, and there are 10 times when the subject of the hardening is Pharaoh. I find that interesting. So it's not all Pharaoh hardened his heart, and it's not all God hardened his heart. It's pretty much 50-50. And that tells you right there that God is going to play a part, and Pharaoh is going to play a part. God is going to play a part in hardening Pharaoh's heart, and we're going to see how that happens this evening. But Pharaoh, of course, has his own free will, and he plays a part. Let's look at just a few of these 20 passages. I'm not going to look at all of them, but just to give you a sample. First of all, that Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Chapter 7, verse 13. Chapter 7 and verse 22, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. Chapter 8, verse 19, Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The heart of Pharaoh was hardened. Chapter 9, verse 35. And then you have these examples in Exodus where Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Chapter 8, verse 15, he hardened his heart. 8:32, Pharaoh hardened his heart. 9:34, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. These are all passages showing his own free will. He's doing this. He's exercising his own free will to do this. And then there are passages that show that God had something to do with it. 4:21, I will harden his heart. 7:3, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. 9:12, Jehovah hardened the heart of Pharaoh. 10:1, I have hardened his heart. So clearly God plays a role, right? And Pharaoh plays a role. Now, Calvin's interpretation or opinion about that was God forced him to do that. And he decides ahead of time who will be lost, you and me as well. He decides ahead of time who's going to be saved. And you can't change that at all. You don't exercise any of your free will to do any of that. That's how he would interpret these verses. 10:20, Jehovah hardened Pharaoh's heart. 10:27 and 11:10. 14:4, I will harden Pharaoh's heart. 14:8, Jehovah hardened the heart of Pharaoh. So what we have then is both statements that Pharaoh is doing it to himself and God is doing it. Now turn back with me to chapter 3 and verse 19. I'd like to mention a few things involving God before we get into the actual hardening of Pharaoh's heart. That does not happen until the plagues start up. I wanted to mention this, however. Before the whole event even takes place, when God is talking to Moses there at the burning bush, and Moses is offering up his excuses. Chapter 3, 19. I know that the king of Egypt will not give you leave to go. No, not by my mighty hand. It needs to be noted that God knows in advance what is going to happen. The Bible teaches foreknowledge. We talked about that Monday night. God knows in advance. He knew in advance that Pharaoh would not let the people go. But he did not cause Pharaoh to have his own hardened heart. There's a big difference. God can know something in the future without causing it. And that's the difference between us and the Calvinist. The Calvinist says if God knows it in the future, then he causes it. There's a big difference. But it needs to be reminded that God does know in advance. Not only that, but God had a will in advance that would take place. Look at chapter 4 and verse 21. Before Moses goes back to Egypt, or he's in the process of going back to Egypt, before the 10 plagues start and so forth. And Jehovah said unto Moses, when you go back into Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in thy hand, but I will harden his heart, and he will not let the people go. This is said before anything gets started. So number one, God knows in advance what's going to happen. Number two, he says, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. Okay? And that's what we talked about Monday night. Again, there is such a thing as foreknowledge and foreordaining. Okay? But the question is, how does God do that? He knows things in advance, he plans things in advance, but he allows people to use their own free will. It's the how that makes it the difference between us and the Calvinists. And then, turn with me to chapter 7 and verse 3. Moses has begun to come back and start talking with Pharaoh, and you know these 10 plagues are going to get started and so forth. Look at chapter 7, verses 3 through 5. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land of Egypt. But Pharaoh will not hearken unto you, and I will lay my hand upon Egypt and bring forth my host, my people, and the children of Israel out of the land of Egypt by great judgments. And the Egyptians shall know. That's a very important verse throughout chapter 4 through 14. Know. This is the divine purpose for all of this. That the Egyptians, not just Pharaoh, shall know that I am Jehovah when I stretch forth my hand upon Egypt. This is Paul's point, if you remember last night in chapter 9, Romans 9:17. He said, I have raised up Pharaoh for this very purpose, that they may know my power and glory. And of course, we also commented about Joshua 2 and Joshua 9, the people in the land of Canaan, they would also know about God's power. So these three things are spoken all before the 10 plagues start. So God does know in advance, and He counsels in advance, and He purposes in advance. But when the events begin to specifically unfold, He allows Pharaoh to use his free will. Yes, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Is this Calvinism? No. And Paul's point in Romans 9, this is what we studied last night, is that Pharaoh was chosen for service. And if you want to go back and listen to that, we're recording all these lessons. It's good to get a good handle on Romans chapter 9, because that chapter gets twisted very easily. It's a chapter about God choosing individuals for service. He was chosen to serve the purpose of God and to show God's power, not that Pharaoh lacked free will. And God can even use unbelievers to accomplish His will. Cyrus is another example of that in the book of Isaiah. The verses in Exodus say that the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, but one must read the whole context to see how the Lord did it. And that's going to be our study tonight. Some verses actually show how the Lord did it in the same verse. And I'm going to show you what to look for this evening. I find it interesting that some people will read these passages, but they won't read the rest of the verse or the rest of the context, and some have gotten very lazy. Don't do that in your personal Bible study. It's easy to get just very lazy and take a little statement and run with it. We've got to do the work to read the context, and in some case, just reading the rest of the verse is helpful, as we'll see here in just a minute. The issue is this. It's not, did the Lord harden Pharaoh's heart? The issue is how. How did the Lord harden Pharaoh's heart? This is the same with the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. The issue is not, does the Holy Spirit dwell in us? There's multiple New Testament passages that say He does. The issue is how. How does He do that? It's the same thing with tonight's lesson. So yes, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, but we've got to read and learn how. How did the Lord harden Pharaoh's heart? Did the Lord do it directly and apart from Pharaoh's free will? No. Did the Lord do it indirectly and in conjunction with Pharaoh's free will? Yes. So how does the Holy Spirit dwell in us? Well, does He dwell in us directly and apart from the Word? No. He dwells in us indirectly and through the Word. So it's not enough just to say, well, such and such is done. We've got to study how is it done. Okay? So how is this hardening being done? We're going to find this evening that God is going to use circumstances to do that. So we have two facts on display in the story in the book of Exodus. And these two facts are, Pharaoh hardened his heart. This shows that he exercised his own free will. Fact number two, the Lord said He would harden Pharaoh's heart. This shows that the Lord did something as well. And we're going to see tonight what that was that He did. Now, turn with me to Exodus chapter 4. I've listed here in this yellow some very important examples that I want to pull out tonight. And I was aware of these before, but I read through the whole story again just in preparation for tonight's lesson. And I even was impressed with some other things that I hadn't noticed before. And brethren, I would encourage you to do that. Anytime there's an issue that comes up anywhere in your Bible, some issue, some error, something that you're studying, take the time, if possible, to read as much as you can. Just reading the story again will be very helpful. So, God hardened Pharaoh's heart by giving him the circumstances to be hardened. Now, I've made a claim there And if somebody stands up here and makes a claim, any of us, Bible class, sermon, if we make a claim, we need to demonstrate it. Okay? If I say that God used circumstances, I need to demonstrate that. Okay? So what we're going to find this evening is the circumstances are this. God hardened Pharaoh's heart by using words and demands and miracles through Moses. Moses would come to Pharaoh and he would use words and demands and miracles, and that is what God is using to harden Pharaoh's heart. Okay? He's not hardening Pharaoh's heart by, before Pharaoh was born, he determined that Pharaoh was going to be hardened, so he hardened him without any of Pharaoh's own free will. That's not how that works. So let's look at a few examples that I believe are very clear. Look with me at chapter 4 and verse 21. Chapter 4 and verse 21, the verse that we read earlier. Let's read it again. When you go back into Egypt, see that you do before Pharaoh all the wonders which I have put in your hand, but I will harden his heart. Look at that sentence. One goes with the other. I'm going to perform wonders, but I will harden his heart. They go together. That's how I'm going to do it. The same verse tells us what is going on. It's very helpful. So through the wonders, that's how I'm going to do it. Look at chapter 7, verses 3 and 4. I will harden Pharaoh's heart and multiply my signs and my wonders in the land. Those are not two mutually exclusive points. Those go together. I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart and I'm going to multiply my signs. That's how I'm going to do it. Those are the circumstances that are taking place. Now turn with me to chapter 8 and verse 15. If you're taking notes, you definitely want to take note of this one. This is a great example of how the circumstances surrounding Pharaoh points to the hardening of his heart. Look at chapter 8 and verse 15 with regard to the plague of frogs. But when Pharaoh saw that there was respite, he hardened his heart. Circle that in your Bible. When he saw, he hardened. It's very clear that's what is going on in his life. That's what's hardening him. When he saw, he hardened. That is so clear. That's what God is using to harden Pharaoh's heart. These circumstances. What? Words, demands, miracles, plagues, and so forth. This is not some direct operation of God before Pharaoh was even born. This is God, I'm going to harden him, and this is how it's going to happen. And 8:15 shows that very, very clearly. Look at 8:32. 8:32. And Pharaoh hardened his heart this time also. Underscore that in your Bible. This time also. Wait a minute. If he had already hardened his heart, how could he harden his heart this time also? Because another event happened, okay? Another plague had happened, that of the flies, the swarm of flies, and so forth. So, these are circumstances that are taking place. Now, turn with me to chapter 9 and verse 14. You might find this interesting. Chapter 9 and verse 14. I think in the past this has escaped my notice, but I noticed it again in reading this story. For I will this time send all my plagues upon thy heart and upon thy servants and upon thy people, that you may know that there is none like me. If you have the New American Standard, it says, I will send my plagues upon you. But literally, it is upon your very heart. And the New King James says that. The New King James there is actually very good. The word heart, the lab or lib, is the very word that is used throughout this story about Pharaoh's heart. And I'm going to send my plagues upon your heart. So if you don't have heart in your version, you might want to just make a little note out in the margin. These plagues were sent on Pharaoh's heart. How do you put plagues on someone's heart? You know, the water turned to blood and the frogs, lice, flies, murrain of cattle, that's all out there. How do you put it on his heart? That's the very point. All of these plagues are affecting his heart, and he's hardening his heart because of these things out here. And it's literally upon your very heart. That's a great verse to show that it's the plagues are working on his heart. God is not directly making him be someone he doesn't need to be. God is giving the circumstances, and he's reacting to those things. Turn with me now to chapter 9, verses 34 and 35. This is another great example of how circumstances affected Pharaoh. And when Pharaoh saw the rain and hail and thunders were ceased, he sinned yet more and hardened his heart. Underscore that. When he saw it, he hardened his heart. Clearly, the circumstances and the things that are going on are what God is using to harden Pharaoh's heart. And what's amazing about this thing is, if a Calvinist said to you or a member of the church, well, God hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he didn't have a choice. If you would just go back and read the story from chapter 4 through 14, you don't even get that idea at all. You don't even get that idea. You get the idea that God is providing circumstances and Pharaoh is making the choices to react one way or the other. Just reading the story again is very helpful. Okay? Look at chapter 11 and verse 10. Chapter 11 and verse 10. And Moses and Aaron did all these wonders before Pharaoh, and Jehovah hardened Pharaoh's heart. Look at how that goes together. Moses and Aaron did these wonders, and God hardened his heart. They go together. One goes with the other. One explains the other. Okay? Look at chapter 14 with regard to Pharaoh and his army crossing the Red Sea. Turn with me to chapter 14. Chapter 14, verse 4. I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and he shall follow after them, and I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon his host, that the Egyptians shall know that I am Jehovah. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people were fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was changed. Underscore that in your Bible. Someone said something to him, and his heart was changed. My version said his heart was changed. Some versions, actually, this is one of the verses, his heart was hardened. Why or how? When someone said something to him, it's clear that these are circumstances that are taking place. Another thing that God is using is time between one miracle and another. There's several plagues where it said, tomorrow I'm going to do this. Tomorrow I'm going to do this. Why not just do it like that? Why give Pharaoh another day? To give him an opportunity to make a change. There's several of them where it's going to be tomorrow, and I've listed them there. Turn with me to chapter 8 and verse 19. Here's another thing that God is using. He's using his own magicians and their responses. In Exodus chapter 8 and verse 19, then the magician said unto Pharaoh, this is the finger of God. In other words, a miracle. And Pharaoh's heart was hardened. The Egyptian magicians are talking to him, and he hardened his heart. You see the circumstances that are taking place? Things that Moses is doing, things that the Egyptians are saying, these are clearly circumstances, words and actions and circumstances that God is using to harden his heart. Look at chapter 10 and verse 7. Chapter 10, 7. And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, how long shall this man be a snare unto us? Pharaoh's servants are saying that to Pharaoh. let the guy go. Let these people go. These people are a problem. Let the men go, that they may serve Jehovah their God. And knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed? God uses all kinds of things to try to change Pharaoh, but every time he hardens his heart. God placed Pharaoh and others in circumstances where they chose to be hardened. God provided the circumstances and thereby indirectly hardened Pharaoh's heart. I clearly showed where the phrase hardened is tied to what he saw, what he heard, a particular plague. Clearly, it's the circumstances that God is using. And you remember last night in our study, Paul said that God endured with much long suffering vessels of wrath. He was talking about Pharaoh. How many plagues did God give Pharaoh? One? Ten. He's enduring with much long suffering. And it was clear that he wouldn't change. And so there was the death of the firstborn. Pharaoh hardened his own heart when he chose not to obey God's word. Pharaoh was not a victim of an arbitrary, capricious God who made a decision before time eternal that Pharaoh would be lost. Pharaoh was not forced by God against his own will to be hardened, and neither are we. And what we need to learn this evening, brethren, is this is not some hypothetical long time ago lesson or just some answer to Calvinism. We need to be reminded this evening that God gives us circumstances every day, and we either are hardened or not. He gives us His Word. He gives us gospel preaching. He gives us people praying for us. He gives people coming to talk to us. I'm talking about in the church. I'm talking about out in the world. How are we reacting to His words, His circumstances, His providence? How are we reacting? It needs to be a very practical lesson for us today and not just an answer to Calvinism. The same word that hardens Pharaoh's heart softens the heart of others, including some of the Egyptians who went with Israel. Does anybody remember who went out with the Israelites in Exodus 12 and verse 38? Who was that? Who was in the mixed multitude? The Egyptians. Some of the Egyptians. Well, why weren't they hardened? They chose to react differently to the same plagues, to the same demands, to the same word. They chose to act differently. So, that's proof positive right there. That here are some who have the exact same circumstances and they are not hardened like Pharaoh was. So, very, very good point to remember. The same sun that hardens clay softens butter or wax. You can go out here on a sunny day. You can put a ball of clay and some butter. The butter's just going to melt. The clay's going to get real hard. The sun is the same. The two materials are different. And brethren, that's our point today. God is like the sun. He's the same for everybody. But what kind of material are you going to be? What kind of material am I going to be? This is very important. The outcome is tied to the materials, not the sun. Whether you harden or whether you melt is determined by the two materials, not the sun. It's the same sun. And so when God gives us His Word, the outcome is different depending upon you and I. Am I clay or am I butter or wax? And that's Jesus' point in Luke chapter 8 with the parable of the sower. It's the same seed, but when it falls on different parts, on different soils, meaning hearts, it has different results. In 2 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul said that when he went out and preached the gospel, to some it was a savor of life, and to others it was a savor of death, but it was the same gospel. And so that's what's going on. It's been the same way from Adam and Eve all the way down through time. God is the same. He gives everybody the same chance, the same opportunity, the same word. But you and I decide what kind of reaction we're going to have. Pharaoh was stubborn, and he was even stubborn before it is said that God hardened his heart. Do you remember back in Exodus chapter 5? He said, I don't know the Lord, and not only that, I'm not going to let the people go. That was before there was some statement where God said, or God had already said in chapter 4 that he would harden his heart, but later during the plagues, before the plagues, he was stubborn. And he would not change. The fact of the matter is, Pharaoh exercised his free will all throughout this event. Turn with me to chapter 10 and verse 3. If God forced Pharaoh to be hardened, how do you explain chapter 10 and verse 3? Turn with me there. How do you explain this? And Moses and Aaron went into Pharaoh and said, Thus says Jehovah, the God of the Hebrews, How long will you refuse to humble yourself before me? Let my people go. That's a terrible question to ask to a man who's been predestined to be that way. And he can't change it. That's a terrible question to ask. That question was asked because Pharaoh could actually change and humble himself if he wanted to. Just stop and think about it. 10:3 is a very powerful verse to answer this idea of predestination and Pharaoh can't change. That verse makes no sense. In fact, not only does it not make sense, but it's cruel for God to ask that question. In 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 16, and I'm hoping to allow some time for you to make comments if you'd like here in just a minute. In 1 Samuel chapter 6 and verse 16, the Philistines, in sending the cart back, they look back on this event and they recognize that Pharaoh hardened his heart. You can look at Deuteronomy chapter 2 and verse 30 and Joshua chapter 11 and verse 20. Other individuals like Sihon, king of Heshbon, they hardened their hearts. And all of these passages are showing that people are accountable and responsible for their own decisions. You and I are accountable and responsible for every choice, every decision we make every day. And we're going to be held accountable for all of those things. That's why we need to be making the wisest and best choices for ourselves and for our family as possible. If we learn anything, let's learn from Pharaoh that he was judged harshly for making the wrong choices. God provides the circumstances for the hardening to those who do not want to obey God. And it's not limited to Pharaoh. There are different examples of this all throughout the Word of God. One of my favorites is Romans chapter 1. If you read Romans 1, God gave the Gentile world plenty of evidence that he was a God. And then the verse says, but they refused to have God in their knowledge. And then the next verse says, he cast them out. He let them go. He gave them up. God gives us a choice. When we refuse him, then he gives us up. Let's not harden ourselves. Let's soften ourselves. God provided the occasion for Pharaoh's heart to be hardened, but Pharaoh himself was the direct cause of his hardened heart. There's other verses in the Bible that show how God hardens individuals, and they're all the same. By giving circumstances, it could be miracles, it could be revelation, it could be sending someone a prophet. In the case of Matthew 13, and Jesus coming and preaching and so forth. In Acts chapter 19 in Ephesus, when they were hardened, it was because Paul was preaching in the synagogue. And the verse says, and they were hardened and disobedient. Why? Because Paul was preaching. Not because they were predestined by God to be that way.
And so there are many, many examples of this in the Word of God. God can also open a heart, and I'll close on this positive point, in Acts chapter 16, when Paul was preaching there in Philippi, the Lord opened Lydia's heart through the preaching of the Word of God. So this evening, we close with this thought. There are two possible responses to the revealed will of God and the sovereignty of God. We can be obedient and open, and like the butter or the wax, we can be soft and pliable, or we can be disobedient and hard. And we decide that each and every day. Are you open-hearted or hard-hearted? Let's be open-hearted in serving the Lord. Questions, comments, observations. We've got a few minutes left for discussion. I appreciate your attention and listening to that presentation. Bob.
Your example on clay, mud versus butter or wax, if I remember correctly, that was Irenaeus that used that illustration in the 2nd century.
Okay.
Augustine was without excuse. There was proper gospel teaching in the 2nd century. By the late 3rd century, early 4th, he'd forgotten.
We made a comment in our study Monday night and Tuesday night that John Calvin got in the 1500s, got his teaching from Augustine in the 400s AD. And Augustine had already had the gospel preached to him. He knew full well that the Bible taught free will and so forth. But Augustine, unfortunately, was influenced by Gnosticism, that said that we're born inherently evil. And he took off with that and caused a big problem with it. And when John Calvin revived it some 1100 years later, then it really spread throughout the world. And that's why we have Calvinism, not only in denominations, but I told you last night about the new Church of Christ that has formed in Cookeville that is full-blown Calvinistic. What else? Yes, Phil.
1 Corinthians 10:13 wouldn't that apply to the Old Testament as well? God has always been, never let us be tempted beyond what we can bear. If that's a statement that God is that way, and the Lord does all the time, then there's no way that Pharaoh would be pardoned beyond what he could.
Not only that, Phil, but I like to use that verse in conjunction. Turn over to James 1:13. God does not tempt anyone. God does not lead anybody into sin. You put those two verses together, it's very difficult to see how that God would plan ahead of time for someone to sin and be evil. So 1 Corinthians 10:13, James 1:13. God is not in that business. He's not in that line of business. Now, if you are stubborn, 2 Thessalonians 2, tonight's story, he will give you circumstances to harden you. He will give you that. If he sees that that's the road you're going down, have at it. He'll give you what you want. But he is not going to lead you into sin. And number two, when you get into temptation, he's going to give you a way of escape. And isn't that the ten plagues? Isn't that a way of escape? Okay. He endured with long suffering vessels of wrath. Even vessels of wrath he's patient with. What else? That's what's amazing about God. Yeah, Eric.
Could that also be true with Judas and betrayed Jesus?
Yeah. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. We do have just a minute here. I have some material if you want a copy of it. I will give it to you after services. In that material that I did Monday night, I have a paragraph or two on Judas. And Pharaoh is the one, in fact, Alan French was mentioning this right before this evening's lesson. Pharaoh is the one that gets all the attention But Judas is another one that Calvinists like to bring up. And there are passages in the book of John that show that Judas was chosen and so forth. But it's the same thing as Pharaoh. God knew in advance what Judas was going to do, but he let Judas exercise his own free will. Acts 2:23. Him, Jesus, being delivered up by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God. God planned this in advance. That's the first word, determinate counsel, and foreknew. God knew this in advance. But he let the Jews and Judas and all of those, Peter, all of those people exercise their free will. You, by the hands of lawless men, did crucify and slay. God can know things in advance. God can determine that this is what's going to happen. My son's going to die on a cross. That's going to involve people, Jews and Gentiles and so forth. But I'm going to let them exercise their free will. So Judas is a part of that as well. God knew in advance. Jesus knew in advance. He knew. He said, one of you is a devil. Jesus knew that in advance. But he let Judas exercise his free will all along. What else? It's all very good.
One question, Chris, just on the topic of this, but when God, the Moses asked Pharaoh to let us go to worship for 2 to 3 days, the wilderness, how many Pharaoh breaks down?
Yep.
What is he really trying? Is he trying to say he really just want to go and take come back? I'm confused about that statement he's been made.
Yeah, there are four times when Pharaoh bargained with Moses about worship, and he had these little deals that he was going to make, you know. And he doesn't want to completely let them go. This is a workforce that if he were to lose it, would be very detrimental to their economy. So Pharaoh is trying to bargain with Moses. Is there some way that we can just sort of meet halfway? You know, I'll let you go out there for a little ways. And then he says on one occasion, you can go, but don't take your animals with you. And Moses says, we don't know what we're going to need when we get out there. We got to take everything. And that's a great sermon in and of itself, but it's the compromises of Pharaoh. And I do believe that he has genuine moments from time to time where he is open and honest and true. When he says, I have sinned, I think it was twice, I don't take that in any other way other than honesty. But then when the circumstances came up again, he flipped and went right back to what he was doing. And so you can have these moments of clarity and truth and honesty, and then you can be hardened very quickly again because of what's going on. It's a good point. Thank you.